Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Alright, hey guys, we screwed up last week. We were supposed to be giving out a $20 Steam gift card. We will be giving that out at the end of this episode, so stay tuned for that. So we're going to start off with a little game. It's going to be called Guess the Year. So I got a couple of video games, some icons, some interesting ones, and you guys are going to guess what year it came out. The person that's closest gets the point. We're going to do five different ones.
Are you going to say that I'm going to lose this game? Guaranteed.
Are these all video games or just PC?
These are all PC video games.
Okay.
I hope so. This is a PC podcast, for God's sakes.
Well, last week your contest had all games, so.
That's true. That's true. We're going to use PC in a loose term. So the first one up is Pong. Pong. Called the first video game by some, but not really, but one of the first.
Hmm. I'm going to go 1978.
I was going to go, just popped in my head, 81.
You are completely wrong. Wrong decade. You're not even close either. Initially released in 1972.
72, okay.
72. All right, second one.
Released as in sold?
Like created? Made for the public.
Wow.
World of Warcraft.
2004.
See what I'm talking about? Do you see what I'm talking about?
Okay, so Bobby gets 2 points.
I've recently had this discussion with somebody. Somebody was just, they were certain that it came out before then. I was like, no, dude, I know.
Can I have a trump card or something that I could do against that? Okay. See how he knows exactly? I need to have something that
next
I can do.
Next one, Doom, the original Doom.
93.
That's 0.3 for Bobby. He's already won, but we'll just wrap this up with the last two. Next one's going to be a little bit harder. The original Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia, side-scroller.
91?
Yeah, he guesses 91.
93.
The correct answer is 89. 89. And the last one, and a soft segue, is Castle Wolfenstein.
Ooh, that's really early.
Okay, now that one was 91. Or no, 92.
91.
Castle Wolfenstein, they say the first release was 1981.
Boom! Oh, the original Wolfenstein.
I won the last fight, so I retire as champion. Take it home.
There you go. So that's Castle Wolfenstein, 1981.
Castle Wolfenstein. Okay. Trick question there. Trick question.
From now on, I said Castle Wolfenstein.
Yeah, okay. Wolfenstein 3D.
New rule. New rule. From now on, Bobby hosts and never plays because he wins every one that he plays.
But I'm the one that always comes up with these stupid games to play.
Well, you could bring it up.
Well, that's a good one because there's so many games that we could choose. So maybe next time I'll pick some games.
Yeah. Okay. That's the deal.
So speaking of Wolfenstein, I didn't even know that The Old Blood was coming out. It came out May 5th, the Tuesday, when our last episode was released. For some reason, I thought it was coming out the 19th, like Wolfenstein The New Order did last year. So I had already bought a game, and I had planned to play that this week. And then next thing I know, like, oh, The Old Blood's already out. So,
what is it that you bought?
Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But spoilers for all you cannoli fans.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a good cannoli?
But
I don't even know what that is. That's the wrap?
The cannoli isn't that the one that pastry? It's wrapped with, filled with cream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Italian pastry.
It's delicious.
It's like a waffle wrapped around cream or something.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
It is pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a waffle, but
yeah, I'm not a big
a crepe. Maybe a crepe.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Anyways.
But Wolfenstein The Old Blood, again by Machine Games, was released on May 5th, and I've only played the first chapter, so this is just only first impressions. I've heard the game's only about 4.5 hours long, though, so I'm not expecting a lot from it.
Can we preface this for any listeners that are new to the podcast that Wolfenstein The New Order was Bobby's favorite game of last year and Amino's favorite game of last year? So,
and Chad just played it for the first time this week.
Yeah.
As much as I love the New Order,
or you love it?
The New Order?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I love that. But the Old Blood really just seems like more of the same, unfortunately. And I don't know. It just didn't hit as hard the second time around. I am enjoying it. It's got much more of a comic feel to it. It's there's a literal grammar Nazi in it, like a Nazi who's very strict about grammar. Grammar Nazi, get it?
I get it, but... It fell short for you, like you couldn't appreciate it, or?
No, I definitely appreciate it and enjoy it, but it really feels like I'm just playing the New Order over again. This one's got more of, if you look at the trailer, you can tell right away, they kind of go about it with a old horror movie kind of feel to it. It's got that like Creature from the Black Lagoon
text.
Yeah, I
saw that poster.
Yeah. So it's actually a prequel to the New Order.
Isn't more of the same good? Though, if it's your game of the year, wouldn't you want more of the same?
You would think so, but I, like I said, I just wasn't struck by this game. Hmm. Not like I was with the New Order, so.
Do you still play Blastowicz?
Yeah, you played BJ Blazkowicz, and this is, he's trying to infiltrate Castle Wolfenstein. So in a lot of ways, this feels like Return to Castle Wolfenstein. And there's a lot of stuff on the occult as well. And Return to Castle Wolfenstein did a lot of that too, like where the Nazis were trying to discover secret powers and digging up artifacts.
You guys can understand my confusion that the old is new and the new is old.
Yeah, the New Order is the older version, right. And the Old Blood is the newer one.
Right,
but from a story perspective, the Old Blood is a prequel.
Oh Jesus Christ! My head just—it's gonna explode.
Yeah. Is there any truth to this Nazi uncovering occult stuff? Because like.
Yeah,
there's
some wicked shit, man.
There's so many movies about it or premises so many different
from
things.
From what I've heard, I mean, I haven't read really things, but they were trying to, like, put different people's heads on different people and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were experimenting with some weird stuff.
Yeah, some crazy stuff.
Yeah. You know what's funny? It's like my mom told me about this when I was, like, a little kid. I don't know why she would, like, tell me that information.
About Wolfenstein 3D?
No, about, like, Nazis and their weird experiments.
Wow. But anyway. Because it was the coolest thing happening at that time. Like, did you know? You know, there was nothing else going on. Before the internet, there's nothing else going on, pretty much. Yeah. You knew as much as the smartest guy that you knew. And that was it. That was it.
It's true.
And that guy could have been lying.
That's true.
There's probably a lot of false information going around back then.
Yeah.
But I will say one thing. I do like the weapon that you start out with is a pipe. Not just a pipe, but two parts of a pipe. And at times he screws them together to make like a longer pipe, and it's got like a sharp edge to it. And the other part's kind of like a hook. And I don't know. I don't know what it is about this weapon. There's something just sort of iconic about it, kind of like the crowbar from Half-Life. It's like, it's hard to explain, but I feel like I have this connection with this weapon. You use it in a lot of situations to disarm these big robots and to climb things. You use it as like, what are those things that the guys use when they're climbing a glacier?
The ice climbers, the like ice.
The picks.
The ice picks.
Yeah. Yeah, so you use it to climb walls, and it's kind of this all-purpose utility tool for you.
What, didn't Thief have kind of that all-purpose utility item as well?
You know what's crazy? Never played a single Thief game.
Oh, the new Thief that comes out has basically that same thing. It's kind of like a hook sort of thing that you can use. And then I think it turns into like a grappling hook or something like that. It's kind of got like a universal feel to it.
Hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's interesting when a game has a something like that, either a tool or a weapon, something that has almost character.
That's what we should do for one of our games. Because like I'm just thinking Dead Space has that very iconic, the fucking thing that just... rips
you modify it, right?
Limbs off or whatever. And you can get all these other different weapons, but everybody just keeps using that.
Well, that's what was great about the first Dead Space is you were using construction tools and you were using them to kill aliens. But by the time you got to Dead Space 3, you were just using rocket launchers and guns and weapons. I don't know. Dead Space 1 just had this cool feel
for
to
sure.
it. You know,
not Terraria, but what's the other one that we play that?
Starbound
has the multi-tool as well. Where you could do a bunch of stuff with that one. Which it could do everything in the game, but not a very good version. You have to build up
a weak version.
After like the first hour of that game, I don't think I ever used that tool again, though.
Yeah.
I think once you make better ones, then you don't want to use it.
It gets obsolete.
I deleted Terraria from my iPhone. It's just the controls, it was just dog shit. I was playing it at first. I was like, okay, I can make this work, but it just doesn't work. Not for
on
me
your
anyway.
Phone, you mean?
Yeah, did it have on-screen keys and like buttons?
No, it was more like push to what you want to do, but it would get confused between rock picking this rock and attacking the zombie that's about to bite me, that kind of thing. So I was just like, okay, it's not worth the memory.
I just downloaded Hearthstone for my Android.
So good, man. I've been playing it.
I haven't played it yet, but I'm you know, I go to the gym every day, and cardio is part of my routine, and I'm figuring I can get a game or two in.
You'll probably run longer because you're more distracted, right?
Yeah. Probably not as fast, though. Like, that's the thing.
I probably put in 20 games this week of that, you know, at work and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe driving.
I lost a bet, though, so I owe a coworker a 10-pack of Hearthstone cards.
Jeez. Oh, get them from G2A.
I know.
They're, like, under a dollar.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap on there.
How do you actually get them, though?
Just use PayPal.
No, but then how do they actually go to your account?
Oh, they email you. Codes. I'm not sure how it works with Blizzard games. I've only got Steam games off there.
Why did I know that was going to happen?
Blizzard has an area where they can redeem codes as well.
Oh, that's
if you go to battle.net. Yeah. But you're going to have to give him the code to redeem.
No, that's fine. I can do that.
Well, anyway, Wolfenstein The Old Blood.
It sounds like a not recommend from you.
Well, I haven't finished playing it. I mean, if you haven't played The New Order, then yeah, sure, check out The Old Blood. But it's a good game, but it's just...
Wait, what?
You just said
if you haven't played the original game, buy both?
No, he said if you haven't played the original, go ahead and you can play the Old Blood.
It'll probably be more impactful, but for me, it's more the same, and I don't know, I grow tired of...
Would you understand the story if you haven't played...
Oh, yeah, they're completely disconnected. Okay. As far as I know.
Oh, it's standalone?
Yeah, it's a standalone.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay, that makes more sense now.
Yeah.
We mentioned prequel at the very beginning.
Yeah,
prequel.
But still, prequel doesn't mean standalone.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's a completely standalone, $20. I really had to turn my graphic settings down for this, and it's definitely time to upgrade.
Yeah. 11,000, almost 12,000.
No, I thought it was like 14,000. No.
What are you?
I was 9,700.
Yeah, he's 11.
Yeah, no, it's like 11 and a half. But the thing is,
real quick on that. So we all do the same thing. It's what's the
program? 3D Mark.
3D Mark. Mm-hmm. But you have to do Fire Strike. Is that what it's called?
Fire Strike is the default or the standard.
The one you can get free.
No, it's the hardest one.
It's for gaming computers. You can do Fire Strike Extreme for high end rigs.
Okay, so we do the hardest one, right?
That's we always do Fire Strike.
Okay, so
that's the baseline.
Fuck, I forget which listener it was, and he's like, "Oh, I just did 3D Mark, and I got like 43,000." And I was like, "Okay, dude, I was like, there's no way that you crushed Bobby's rig. There's no way that much. There's no way that you're five times better than Bobby's rig." And he's like, "Oh yeah, I did it wrong. Sorry, I got to see when I got home. Get home." So he got home. And he ran it again, and he's like, "Oh yeah, 23,000." I was like, "No, dude, I'm pretty sure that you're doing something wrong." And I forgot what it was, but it was one more tweak, and eventually it brought him down to like 5 or 6,000. So
gotcha.
Yeah, gotta do Fire Strike.
Yeah,
If we're done with Wolfenstein, I kind of have...
Well, he had a point you want to close out on.
Well, I just need to upgrade my video card because as fast as the GTX 690 is, the card's 3 years old, maybe 4 years old by this point. I bought it December 2012. It's an old card. It's a 600 series. They're up to the 900
series. You bought it right
series.
Before the apocalypse?
Yeah.
Fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Waste of money.
Yeah.
No, this was after. That was 12... 12? Yeah, I bought this like right after Christmas.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's just an old card. And as powerful as it is, like there's something about these newer cards that have newer technology. So it's definitely time to upgrade.
Yeah, there's magic in those new boxes, man.
Yeah. Well, so I asked Bobby, because I family share with Bobby, and I have access to his 20.
Because here at the DL Gaming Podcast, we're family.
Yeah. I have access to his 23,000 games that he has available. It's hilarious. My list barely covers the You barely have to scroll on my list.
And, I don't have to scroll on your list.
Yeah. Mine. And then his list.
It's silly.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. a speed scroll. The smirk.
Half of these games I don't
even... Bobo smirk. Yeah,
half of these games I don't even know. Like, I have this full list, like this huge library.
He's trying to hide the smirk.
It's like walking into a library and trying to find a book that's good only by reading the titles.
Did you see the first one?
No, is it you know, one with a bunch of A's? Before.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not a bunch of A's. That's the second one.
It's like some backslashes.
Yeah, it's
Ultraviolet milk.
Or something. I still want to play it.
No,
it's terrible.
So he's got all these games to play. And so I hit Bobby up and I said, hey, I got this new card and all. By the way, if you didn't catch the past couple episodes, I got the 9700 GTX.
GTX 970.
And a solid state 500 gig drive. So I want to put this thing through its paces. Give me a game.
First of all, can I call a little bullshit from all the shit you've been saying for years about this game sucks, that I don't want to play that. That's fucking bullshit. You readily admitted that the only reason you were shooting these games down is
because I couldn't play them.
You couldn't play them.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. So in the future.
Like Wolfenstein. Of course I wanted to play Wolfenstein. But I didn't want to play it with 3 pixels on the screen running around trying to determine what the hell that is. Is that a dog or is that a fucking giant human?
Guys, when I'm talking, what you hear is what you get. When Chad is talking, you need a little bullshit filter. That's all I'm saying. And when Bobby's talking, you need an encyclopedia and a thesaurus.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, so I asked Bobby, hey, I got your full list of games. What should I install to really see awesome graphics? I want to see some awesome graphics. I haven't seen awesome graphics unless I walk into him in his room. So show me something good. And so he thought about it. He told me to get Wolfenstein, so I downloaded that. And then he came back the next day or whatever, and he's like, Rise, Son of Rome, right? That's what it's called. Rise, Son of Rome has actually awesome graphics. I said, Rise? Like, that game's like an Xbone launch game? He's like, yeah, but it didn't come out on the PC.
I just watched you itch, dude.
I know. Stop. So.
Jed has herpes, and it's all over his body.
Stop.
You can't stop.
So he's like, yeah, it just came out recently. The graphics are awesome. So I downloaded it and played it. And I can't even play this on ultra settings. I tried.
Oh,
Yeah, it's not. I was getting like 3 or 4 frames a second.
Bobby's got the smirk, so I'm thinking he could.
No, I couldn't. There's one particular setting that you have to turn down, and I'm not sure what they call it in there. I'm not sure what the setting is, but I would recognize it if I saw it. But I had to turn that one down a lot. And it does adjust.
Drawing, maybe?
No. I don't know if it's anti-aliasing.
It's like 8 times anti-aliasing or something like that.
It wasn't anti-aliasing, though. It was something else. They had a weird name for it that
have to have you come in.
Anisotropic filtering.
Maybe.
No, it wasn't anisotropic filtering, but if I see it, I'll know exactly what it is. But if you change that, you will see the graphics go down a little bit, but it'll make it way more playable.
So I took it off ultra to high, I think, and then it was running smooth. And the game does look pretty as shit. Like, they do some really good stuff.
As far as fun, Bobby was saying it was like really, really fun.
It's gotten repetitive already. Like, it's literally a 2-button game. You've got one button will like push your shield, one button will attack with your weapon, and then one button will block. So it's basically three buttons. Right, Bobby, is that basically the basics of the combat?
Yeah, and you're
so it'll be like swipe, swipe, block, swipe, swipe, push, and they'll be attacking from multiple sides, and if you do your shield at the right time, it's like Batman. If you do your shield at the right time, you'll get like a bonus.
It's a 2D scroller, right?
No. It's
Oh, it's 3D.
It's 3D.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was.
Well, the combat is like Batman, but you also enter quick time events.
Yeah, there is a lot.
But like Batman doesn't. We've all agreed that like Batman is a good thing.
Batman is more fluid. Like Batman jumps around, he's doing punches and stuff, where this guy's swinging a gladius and hefting a shield around. So it's just a little, it's pondering.
Bulkier.
Yeah, it's more of a ponderous pace than like that quick, like Batman's jumping all over the place. Right. And this is not that, but it does.
More believable? You're saying Batman's more believable? Maybe,
not more believable, but just quicker. Like, You okay. see that guy, you jump over.
So it should
to
be
him.
Easier to hit your marks then.
It is, but it's not as fun. I didn't get the fun from the combat okay. as much as I did from Batman. But they do have executions, which are really sweet. Like, you hit the guy enough, he's got a little skull on his head, you push the execute button, and he does some, like, execute, which turns into a quick time event.
So but, did the Lord of the Rings game, right? That had that as well.
Yeah, I think a lot of games have done that.
Yeah.
And the trick to that game is getting something, I think they call it like the Fire Eagle or the Fiery Eagle. Yeah. If you get enough combos.
War Eagle, I think.
Yeah, the War Eagle. If you keep that going, then it maximizes your points. And the multiplayer on that was a lot of fun, too. It was co-op.
I didn't even try that.
It's pretty good. Like, you go into a Colosseum. And they act out like a whole Colosseum with enemies coming at you. And sometimes they do like a water level and all these traps. And you have to survive. And, you know, you try to get combo points. You earn XP and get better armor. It was pretty fun. I would have played it more if I had someone to play it with. But
I want to get into this, though, without like being shitty or anything. I want to know why, Chad, you didn't have a great time. Bobby, you had a good time. I don't think we've found what that is yet.
I think I have played a lot of God of Wars and all those kind of games, and I'm just kind
of
over
that. God of War does maybe does it better.
No, God of War is all about combos and hitting. God of War is basically you hit or you dodge. Right. Like it's really simple, but it's quick paced, and you're trying to keep your hit meter
combo up.
Yeah, exactly. This game is a little different. You're like standing in the middle of a group of guys. And you're doing your combo, and then you see a guy swinging at you, and you push the block button right, then you go on him. You know, it's kind of like that sort of style.
So it seemed trivial? I still don't see what you're saying as far as, like, why it wasn't.
There was one attack button.
Right.
Like, God of War has three different attacks. This one literally is an attack or a push. That's the only really thing.
And you played all the God of Wars.
Yeah, I played all the God of
Wars. Maybe the whole difference here is... whether or not you played all the... Because, Bobby, you haven't played any God of Wars, right?
No.
So, if you had never played a God of War, maybe this would... Yeah. Because God of War, you know...
And I'm not sure God of War is the best example.
That series is renowned.
Yeah.
It built Sony for a certain couple of years.
Yeah, for sure.
So...
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I wouldn't recommend Rise if you could get a good deal on it. 10, 15 bucks. It would definitely be worth it. But, you know, I wouldn't be paying full price for it. Hmm. And I think Bobby would agree with that.
Yeah, full price, I think, is $40. And I know I got it on sale, too.
Yeah,
I definitely enjoyed it, and I didn't think I would. I remember seeing that game when it premiered on Xbox One, and I thought I just hated it right off the bat. I hated the idea of it because it looked like QuickTime event after QuickTime event, and that is my least favorite mechanic in any game at all. So I immediately hated it. But then when I actually played it, I enjoyed it. But then again, I haven't played a lot of games like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I played the Batman games. And plus, I love the early Rome, like that kind of theme.
Yeah.
Gladiators. I like that kind of aesthetic. So and the graphics
were made. I think we got it. It's probably the difference of playing maybe 100 hours of God of War.
Yeah,
as opposed
more.
To not. So, which it sounds like this game was based on. So,
I think it was a competitor Xbox created. I'm sure it was looking to compete with God of War.
I'd say it's not good, but
I could kind of feel it was like a launch title. Like maybe if they had spent another couple months on the combat, they could have diversified it a little bit more.
That's crazy on the graphics though to be pushing.
Yeah,
I mean,
the graphics are really good, and anyways, what else are we talking about? You want to talk about the cannoli now?
Yeah. I mean,
Italian desserts. Let's get into that.
Yeah.
Before I talk about
that. I'm fucking hungry enough to eat cannolis.
You know what's crazy? I haven't played Heroes of the Storm in like 2 or 3 weeks. Like, I'm completely off that game. And
but not for any fault of it. It's just time constraints, right?
Yeah, just because I'm playing other things. And I was able to... not play it for a couple days, and then I was like, you know, if I just stay away from it, then I won't get hooked again. So I'm just trying to keep that going so I have time for other games. But I've been playing a lot of Killing Floor too, and I've already talked about that quite a bit, but I've been playing with one of our listeners, Clown Lotion, so that's been a lot of fun.
Awesome.
What's he sound like? I feel like it's like, hey, Bobby, how's it going?
Like the clown from
Clown Lotion.
What was it was Pennywise, the clown from It.
Yeah.
That was his name. Yeah, I don't know. He hasn't used voice chat, so I...
Oh, anyway. Of course, right? Or would you if you sounded like that?
Yeah.
Somehow all his text is like fucking Jack the Ripper font or whatever. It's really shitty.
Jack the Ripper font?
Yeah, you haven't seen that?
No.
It's really cool looking.
Okay. But, yeah, so I've been playing a lot of Killing Floor 2, but I have also been playing Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. Okay.
Tell me about this.
Well, first of all, the name, and just, I saw a few screenshots of it. I'm like, that looks like an interesting game. You know, sometimes that'll happen. You see a game or you see a title and it piques your interest right off the bat.
Off the bat, I'm thinking Mafia.
Yeah.
Obviously, Cannoli goes straight to
Godfather. No. I meant the game Mafia.
No.
Which is a GTA clone.
Yeah, but it's got more of like puzzle solving or something, doesn't it?
No.
So what kind of game is this?
This is very similar to Broforce, actually.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's a side-scroller where you play...
I like the art already.
Yeah, and that's the real... The best thing about this, yeah, is the animation. I was really impressed with the animation. I don't know why, but maybe I've been playing too many early access games, but...
He's so cynical, he can't even come up with a word that means something good for something.
Positive,
He's like, no, that's the thing that... Now, if it was something bad, now this is the thing. Yeah. Oh, shitty, fucking fucktard.
All sorts of adjectives to describe it. All he's got is good. This one's good because they've got good this and good that. All right. Anyways,
It is a side scroller. I'll tell you what's good about this game.
Sorry.
The animation.
Okay. Cool.
As I was saying, the animation looks great. It looks like a cartoon, like a good cartoon that you would see.
It looks like Sam and Max a little bit. Doesn't it have that same kind of style as Sam and Max?
Sure.
Yeah, I guess. And they did voice acting too, which is nice.
Nice.
I mean, that's an extra step,
so
an extra cost.
2D side scroller?
Yeah, 2D side scroller where you shoot up zombies and you are an Italian mafia hitman and you eat cannolis to replenish your health. I mean, it's all very basic, and the gameplay at first I wasn't too impressed with. Like, mechanically, it's not a very complex game, but the animation kind of carried it. And as I progressed further through the levels, the types of enemies varied, and I started having a lot of fun with it. And I'm kind of hooked on it. I'm on, I think, like, mission 10 or something. I don't know. There's, like, I'm, like, 80% of the way through the game. So I'm almost done with it. And I played the first half of this game on impossible difficulty, the hardest setting. And it's such a different experience playing a game on the hardest setting compared to, like, normal. Like, it's so weird how much that changes the game. At first, when I was playing it on impossible difficulty, it was like I was memorizing the level. Like, okay, these two guys jump out here. As soon as I see that guy, I'm going to jump over the charging football player zombie, and he's going to rush into the mobsters and attack them, and that'll give me time to reload and shoot. And all this stuff. Like, I had it all planned out. I recently watched that movie with Tom Cruise, Edge of Tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
was that basically what you were doing?
Yeah. And it reminded me a lot of that. But then I put it on normal mode, and it was just like I'm rolling through the level, just shooting, not worrying about taking damage. Because in impossible mode, you can get hit a few times and then you're dead. So you really have to play carefully and strategically. And you learn the level so much more.
That's how Hotline Miami is. And you made a really good point a long time ago, many podcasts ago, about how...
Many moons ago, he stated.
If you make a roguelike or any kind of roguelike thing, you can make a few levels that are so hard that you really milk every nook and cranny out of that level because the person replays it so many times. But you're not making it so repetitive that it gets boring. That's the fine thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of difficulty, I'll talk briefly. Okay,
let's shut out Cannoli. You really liked it? It was a good game?
Yeah, I'm not going to give it a strong recommendation.
You'd buy it for $5, but not for $10?
Yeah, I mean, it retails for $10. I used my G2A money to buy it, and I don't regret that at all. But again, like, I got to compare it to Broforce. It has that side-scroller randomness, that whole shoot-em-up kind of thing. Like, things blow up. You shoot cars, they blow up. Like, it
So, if you could only recommend one, what do you recommend in Broforce or this one?
I think this is multiplayer, too. Local co-op, like Broforce is.
But two or four? Do you know?
I want to say it goes up to four. I just closed the tab here, but I want to say it goes up to four players. That seems like a lot because there's no depth to this. There's no Z-axis. It's completely 2D, like platformer. But
I love games that, adding players doesn't add easiness, or it doesn't make it any easier.
And Broforce.
Yeah, Broforce
makes
is
it harder.
Yeah,
probably.
Much harder. Yeah.
Anyways, about difficulty. I just, spoilers, but I just picked up Pillars of Eternity. I will not be talking about it on this podcast other than this because I'm literally an hour into it and you cannot give it any sort of recommendation or review after an hour. But it gives you the list of difficulties. And I basically chose the easy difficulty because I want to get through it so I can talk about it on these podcasts. And the same thing also occurred earlier in the week when I booted up Wolfenstein. Wolfenstein's got the crybaby one. It's got the different difficulties and it's got the best face.
It's got the bonnet on the easiest difficulty.
And I didn't choose that one, but I chose the one that's basically like, you should be able to go through this no problem.
Yeah.
And I'm choosing more and more to go through the easier settings just because we have so many games that we play and we go through.
That's what you're telling yourself, dude.
No, it's
now.
It's,
now we're
it's
getting
true.
Old. Wait, reaction times are slow.
No,
slow.
If I had 30 hours to spend on a game, I'd do the hard difficulty, take my time, enjoy the combat, and really like.
I know what you're saying.
It's just
Grand Theft Auto. I'm playing it on normal, and my one complaint, if I had one, is it's too easy.
Yeah,
like I very rarely fail missions unless something wacky goes on. Same thing. It's like I could turn it up, but I'm not because I'm trying to get through it for the podcast.
And then I complain about Rise's ease of simplicity combat. And maybe if I had cranked up the difficulty, maybe I'd be having a more fun time. And maybe that's what happened with Bobby. Yeah. That maybe he cranked up the difficulty like he's prone to do.
We'll just give him that.
Yeah.
Well, it completely changed the game. And I think...
Oh, you did turn it up.
No, he's talking about Cannoli.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, on Cannoli. I mean, I started out playing it on impossible difficulty, and it was like, I don't know, it was, I can't stress it enough, it was a completely different game, and it was, I had something I was going to compare it to, but I can't remember
what
it was.
Did we distract you with our, what's going on with... Chad mentioned to earlier was like, I knew that was going to happen, and all the sound effects you're hearing is... I decided to go into this without a drink. Chad had multiple drinks. I stole one of his drinks, and I just tried to steal his last drink.
Yeah, so which ain't happening.
It sounds like I'm an alcoholic, guys, but I only drink once a week, and it's during the podcast. So.
Yeah. And then, but we enjoy that you drink during the podcast because you're funny then. Yeah. Wow.
All right.
So I played another game. Do we have time for this?
Sure.
Okay. We all know Endless Legend from last year was one of our top games. I actually picked it as my favorite game of last year. One of my complaints on it is that it's a ground-based strategy game, and I'm all a fan about the space. And I knew that they had their older version. One of their early games was Endless Space, which is a space version. And it was on sale a couple weeks ago, so I picked it up. So Endless Space is by the same company, Amplitude, I believe is the company that does it. And I believe it's one of their earlier ones that came out with. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bobby. Are you disagreeing with me on this?
No, I'll take your word for it. I haven't played it. I'm not familiar with them. So
okay.
It's in, on Steam July 4th, 2012.
Yeah, so it definitely came out before Endless Legend. Yeah. Because you can tell some of the... There's some of the stuff isn't explained very well, and I think they took that to heart when they went to make Endless Legend, because Endless Legend explained things very well, so you knew what the abilities did and you knew how it was interacting. And that was one of the positive features of Endless Legend, was
explains every single thing you mouse over.
And I think that was a complaint that people probably said with Endless Space, because a lot of times I have this hero and it tells me plus 15 of something, and I have no idea what the fuck they are talking about on this. Right.
Can you reverse engineer things? Like,
a lot of times I'll figure it out, but like, my guy's dead at this point. I got to start over.
I meant, have you figured out what they meant in Endless Legend?
Oh.
We get from playing that.
I haven't played Endless Legend in a while, though. That's the problem. But this game is a lot of fun. Like, if I can see the roots of Endless Legend in this game, and the same kind of clean UI and clean look and clean feel that's in Endless Legend is also here.
Let's just admit it. We're fucking gay for their UI.
Yeah, it's awesome looking.
It's so good.
Yeah, whoever designed the whole look and feel of that was just
And really it's not good. That it's like groundbreaking. It's just clean and easy to use.
And intuitive. You scroll in with your mouse wheel, it does what it's supposed to do. Whenever I push left, although in this game, right backs you out of screens just automatically. It doesn't matter the screen. Right will back you out of it.
We sound occasionally terrible. Hey, guys, go play this game because of its UI. Like, nobody's ever said that before. And we're not saying it about this. Maybe you are. I'm sorry. But Endless Legend, for sure, go play it for the UI. It's so nice. Yeah. And the music and the ambiance.
So everything I liked about Endless Legend is here just in smaller form. Just not quite as polished. But on the flip side, it's in the space. It's got the whole sci-fi feel, which I really appreciate. And
more than the fantasy.
Yeah, more than the fantasy. And when I bought the pack, it came with all the expansions that had already come with it. So there was a bunch of different races you can play, and the races are all different. But it's got the same four elements. You know, it's got dust, it's got industry, it's got sciences, it's got farm or whatever.
In a certain way, it must be kind of cool to see the precursor to something that...
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. And I'm struggling to figure out some things. I still haven't beat the game yet after about 5 or 6
Even on super easy or whatever?
I haven't gone to super easy. I went to easy. Still haven't beat it yet. I'm still trying to figure out...
Is it like Endless Legend where it goes from like normal, easy, really easy, gay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Gay should be like one of the hardest ones, right? Anyways.
Bobby had no problem with it. Hey-o! Come downtown.
I don't even understand that joke. But I do remember what I wanted to say about difficulty.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm kind of ripping off a presentation Jonathan Blow gave at some event in 2008. I watched it on YouTube. But the reason we play games...
came out.
That's great. Yeah, and that's what you fucking gave us.
I think he might be half autistic. Not
there's
fully.
Something going on there.
Okay. Continue.
Okay. The reason we play games is for the challenge. And when you make something a little too easy,
by the way.
You don't agree?
Chad wants to win the entire time.
No.
The challenge is the primal.
There are games that you play to experience, not for the challenge. Like I could sit and play a game like Uncharted on the easiest setting because it's like a movie and I want to just experience it. Or like Wolfenstein, which I'm playing right now, I want to put it on the easiest setting because I just want to experience what you guys experienced. And I don't want to necessarily stress about trying to figure out the
I guess
the
I kind of feel that way about Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah.
Because like, I want to experience the whole game. But those jumping... Let me jump a little higher.
like, I don't want to beat my head against a wall sometimes. Sometimes I just want
to... But in general, I see what the...
No, and I understand that if it's a story, like, you want to experience the narrative, But essentially, games are about challenge and about overcoming those challenges. And when you do that, that's what gives you that sense of pleasure from playing a game.
Yeah, the Japanese have a term. I can't remember for that. But continue. I'm sorry. I'm going to derail this.
Think it and don't say it.
Okay, my bad.
Poor Bobby.
Maybe I should have given you the second drink.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Bobby. It's continue. Like I will not interrupt anymore.
Oh, you totally will, too.
Oh, no.
I think I've lost it again.
Jonathan Blow. 2008 presentation difficulty is the challenge. Go.
Boom. It's gone. It's gone. Let's
move on. Damn it.
You do it so much.
Dude. I know.
I do it too, but you do, you're so bad. There was one time, because I listen to podcasts, you don't.
Yeah.
There's one time you're like,
because I keep interrupting Bobby.
Bobby, I'm not going to interrupt you at all. And then he starts talking, and you're like, so there was, and it was, you weren't being facetious or anything. Like, you really cut him off right after saying it.
I'm sorry, Bobby.
It's okay, dude. I've got to make my points more concise, man. I just try to squeeze them in between your interjections. That's how I got to operate.
My bad. What else?
Bobby, you're like a verbal ramp for his thoughts. So like, he's like, meh, until you say something, and he's like, you're the catalyst.
If we were a volleyball team, he'd be the setter.
The setter, yeah. Right? Yeah,
absolutely. And I'm spiking him.
Now, I had a friend that would always do that too. And I used to like, joke with him and say that he had Robin Williams syndrome, because every time I would get like four words into something, he'd take that word and just run off in a completely different direction. Yeah. And I could never like finish what I was going to say.
Was that fair? It was a guy?
Yeah.
Because I always, girls do that.
Really?
So much.
You have that experience with women?
Oh, yeah. I call it fracturing. I even got a name for it. Fracturing. They're telling a story, or you're telling a story, and they hear one word and they fracture it off, and that one might fracture. It's like a lightning bolt.
Yeah.
It can go on forever.
It just branches out.
Yeah. So there was this dog, and I was in the park, and parks are nice because they grow grass, and grass is nice because it's green, and green is nice because like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Fracturing.
And that's exactly the experience that I have. Fracturing. Yeah. All right.
Now I want to know about Jonathan Blow.
It's a word now.
Can I hear it?
First of all, he was picked on a lot in middle school.
Really popular, though, in college.
We had, in 2008, he had this whole presentation on storytelling in games and how that works against the challenges in games. And it's... that book, that audio book that I mentioned like a little while ago, they talk a lot about it, Why Video Games Matter by Tom Bissell. Hmm. And it's pretty interesting. I didn't like it all that much. I found a lot of his shit real esoteric, but it's worth a listen to. But he talked about difficulty in games and how that gives it meaning. And when you accomplish something, that gives you that sense of pleasure, like when you overcome it, and that's what you get from the difficulty of it. And I get that sometimes when I'm playing games and I have it on the easiest mode. And that's what happened when I was playing Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. As soon as I put it on normal mode, it was so easy. I was just pretty much holding right and then pulling the trigger the entire time. And it's like vacuuming. It's just like a chore that I'm doing. And I really didn't enjoy it nearly as much, although I was progressing through the game faster. And in his presentation, he talked about how a lot of games, and he used God of War as an example, they use a faux challenge or fa challenge, you know, the French word F-A-U-X. Yeah. So like a fake challenge. So you have like 10, 15 guys that you have to fight. That seems like a big challenge, but they're actually really easy to kill with, you know, given your abilities. So it gives a sense of challenge without providing real challenge, and how that kind of, you feel that, you know, if something's not challenging, you don't feel that reward at the end of it.
But then when those 15 dudes' health goes up and their damage is doubled, is that still foe?
Well, are you talking about doing like hardcore mode or like?
I'm just saying, is that what he? I don't really understand.
God of War specifically does that, and that's one of the reasons why God of War was so successful, is that they. They made it seem like you're.
Cut him off, Bobby. Cut him off. I'm crazy.
They made it seem like you're overcoming obstacles that are larger than you're really overcoming.
Yeah.
It's like these giant mobs, and then in 10 hits, you get the quick time event and kill them. You know, it's that sort of same style.
I want to interject real quick. We say mobs a lot, and I think I've explained it before. The very first way I've ever been explained the word mob. Do you use that word, Bobby?
Mobs?
Yeah. Chad and I use it all the time.
Yeah.
You taught me this word.
Well, I think everyone used it in World of Warcraft. I think MMOs, it's derived from.
Yeah. And then EverQuest took it from text-based MMOs before that. Mobs is, I don't know what it means. It's like mobile opponent, something or other. So if you're wondering, it's just any kind of enemy NPC. Oh, we use it a lot. I'm sorry if you don't know it. It's a word.
I think people know what mobs mean. It's just like a group of enemies. I mean, it could be like one or
two. Not even a group. It could be one.
Yeah.
It's a mob.
Yeah.
The way I look at it, right?
It's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Regarding mob and aggro. Regarding the difficulty, I would like to equate it to like a symphony. Like there is points where there's lulls, and you need those lulls to make the crescendos that much more important. And I think difficulty needs to be in that same way. If your game is just hard after hard after hard after hard after hard, it's just tiring and boring.
The Dark Souls series.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he explains that, and he has a graph for it, too. Difficulty tends to ramp up through a game, but it's not linear. It goes up and down because you need those areas. Yeah, you need those areas where people feel powerful. They get a new ability, they can wipe out mobs, but then a new challenge comes around.
That's why TF2 has been so successful, because if you go on a good run, your crit percentage goes up and your good run becomes an epic run. Mm. And you're like, oh man, I feel so good. But then you get shut down the very next run because you feel like you still have this crit percentage.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy because you're equating that to a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
And I don't even think about it.
I think they're the only ones that really think that way.
Yeah.
That's why Valve is. I think it all comes down to where you're at personally with gaming. For me, last year, at the very beginning of this year, Team Tom had a post about, cleaning out the list, crossing off all those games, beating them, checking them off. And, you know, that's how I was last year. I was just trying to get through games, and I had categories in my Steam library of, like, completed and need to finish. Yeah. And I was really just trying to check off as many games as I could, and I really don't think I was getting a very deep understanding of these games or really enjoying it to its full potential. And this year I've kind of thrown that out the window, and they're like, I never beat Divinity Original Sin. Great game. Loved it. Spent like 80 hours, 85 hours on that game. Haven't beat it. And I have a real problem letting that. No, not yet.
It's my fault. My time is like,
well, I've been playing my own single player one and with you. So that 86 hours.
How about you go fuck yourself? And, Jesus Christ.
I'm kind of curious what our listeners, do they pick the hardest difficulty that they do, that they can, or do they play it more on an easier setting?
Throw it up on our new discussion forum.
Yeah.
See, I'm just saying, not even about difficulty, but I don't know. I don't want to tell people how to play their games, but for me, I'm not trying to just check games off my list. I'm playing a game and I'm trying to enjoy it, however that may be. And once it becomes unenjoyable or for whatever reason I become disinterested, then I move on to something else and I don't worry about completing.
That considered, there's always that completionist aspect that we all have deep rooted inside of us, that if you had infinite time, of course you could finish all of these games, correct? Yeah. Like, if you had infinite time and you were immortal, of course you would finish. You would never even stop one game to go play another. Am I right? Or am I wrong on this?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I don't know. See, maybe it has to do with options as well. Because I've got so many games. And I've got so many that I've bought. I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely playing that. And
Definitely playing that one. this is the one. Double click.
We got to move on. We got a bunch of other stuff that we got to talk about.
Yeah. Okay.
You just shut down one of the best little conversations we've had.
Let me just mention Halt and Catch Fire. It's going to be brief.
Bob, you got to watch this.
So it is an AMC show.
Which is, AMC has been killing it.
Breaking Bad, Mad Men.
Yes.
They've been doing really well. AMC season one is on Netflix. Halt and Catch Fire is early 80s, 82, 83.
Yep. About the early PC gaming days.
Yeah, not PC gaming. And it's a drama. So there's ups and downs, relationships and stuff like that, but it's about them trying to come out with the next big thing. And
there's no knives or bullets. This is all drama.
It's
business drama, but it's very well written, very well acted, and right, if anything's right up Bobby's ass, this is it right here.
Yeah. So Bobby, you got to check it out. And I recommend, it's 10 episodes on Netflix, and I think season two might be going on
It better be.
In AMC. and it, I recommend it. It's got the PC angle, which is cool, and it revolves around, although the story is fictional, it revolves around some truths that's going on.
Yeah, like they use big names like Microsoft
and IBM.
Yeah, IBM. And not Microsoft, IBM. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of pride myself on picking apart plot lines, and this is why I don't like sitcoms and shit like that, mm-hmm. because this is like, oh, obviously he's going to lose the keys and obviously he doesn't know where the. But this show had twists in it every episode that was throwing me off. Like, I don't like this guy because he's
typical
obviously
MC,
this.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Really good writing. Bobby, I know you're pressed for time, but watch this with your lady.
You got Netflix, right?
My girl got sucked in. Girl got sucked in.
So. I watched episode one, and I.
If you're under 25, don't watch this. If you're under 27, watch this.
You gotta appreciate.
We're old, dude.
Yeah, you're right.
We're old.
You're right. But I mean, if you like AMC dramas, you'll like it. But I watched episode one, and I really wanted to watch episode two, but I was like, no. I gotta watch episode one with Emilio. So when Emilio got home from work, I was like, stop whatever you're doing. We're gonna sit and watch one episode.
It was a Friday night. And after we watched episode one, me and my girl were like, you just wasted our Friday night. And then he played episode two, and then three, and four, and five.
Somewhere in there, yeah. Your girl was like, let's go into the room and have sex. And you were like, yes, after this episode. And then two more episodes happened. So just to point out where your head's at.
Yep. Bobby,
bad time to take a drink.
You have to wait for the applause break.
Okay.
Talk about
amateurs.
Talk about Grand Theft Auto.
Did we do everything else then?
Unless you want to talk Street Fighter.
Oh, very quickly. Street Fighter pros, you know, there's a guy called, I forgot his name already. But anyway, he's one of the top five players in the world.
Jay Wong?
No. And he's probably number one or two, three, maybe. Anyway, they put an eye tracker on him, and they put a little ball at exactly what he's looking at the entire time that he's playing. And there's not a whole lot of surprises here. He's looking mostly right in front of his opponent the entire time he's playing. You can see exactly where his eyeballs are looking the entire game. Except for, he was, who's the girl with the long legs? She's, like African. She plays capoeira.
Starts with an S, right? Selena or something like that.
I think you're way off. I don't know her name either. Right. Anyway, she has super long legs. She does capoeira. And this is our hero or whatever. The person you're looking through his eyes. And he's playing against Ken. The only time his eyeballs are off of right in front of Ken are when Ken throws a fireball, which he follows the fireball with his eyeballs. It's so crazy. And then he either jumps over it, blocks it, or parries it, or whatever it is. But, yeah, as far as when 90% of the action, it's exactly where you would think it would be if the two opponents were a yardstick, the eyeballs are always at the first foot, you know, where the enemy is. See, because you know what your character is doing because you're controlling it. So it's always right there like a laser, dude. When something goes on, it bounces all over the place. But for the majority of when things aren't going on, it's right there. I found it very interesting as a Street Fighter player.
And this is a video that you saw?
Yeah. And also, I wanted to kind of just mention that how interesting that it is that peripheral vision. Like, I think the best players don't look at exactly where the action is because the action could be anywhere at one time. Mm-hmm. That's why, like, I was playing Smite with you tonight and something happened. I forgot what it was, but where I took everything into account. Okay, this guy could do this. This can do this. This, I need to be here.
Yeah.
How many things it's so crazy. It's all about peripheral and then calculating it and then extrapolating it and then putting it into what you're going to do. And, there's been studies on this on first person, player shooters like Call of Duty players, and they can process more points of interest than any other kind of human.
I could believe that.
Yeah, yeah.
You watch MOBA players and you watch top MOBA players.
Yeah.
And it looks like they're watching the map.
Right.
But it also looks like they are watching their character.
They're watching the whole thing.
Yeah. And like the concept of tunnel vision, which if you're not an American, maybe you don't know the concept, the idea that you are focused in on one exact point is the worst thing you can do in gaming in almost every occurrence. Right. Right.
Which happens to a lot of people.
That's the only way I play. Yeah. Like, I'm staring at one point on the screen. Yeah, so.
Hey, by the way, guys, just in case you didn't know, Chad's the worst kind of player. He's the guy that.
I'm not the worst guy.
He's kind of.
I'm not a flamer.
Okay.
I'm not a troll.
He doesn't talk shit, but he will respond to any kind of shit talking. Anytime, whether it be a 9-year-old or a 27-year-old, Chad will respond to any negativity. He thinks that everybody's against him. He thinks that the rules of the game are against him.
That's not true.
Meanwhile, I love playing with him. So
you just kind of
because it's kind of funny.
You just kind of filter it out, right?
Sure. Sorry.
All right, talk about Grand Theft Auto now because it's week number 4 that you're on Grand Theft Auto. I can't get you to play another game, but it's a Smite,
right? But it's the second week of mods, and so there's all kind of Script Hook 5 came out, and there's a whole big controversy about that.
Are you sure it's not pronounced Script Hook? Because the PH together makes a Script.
This is why I consider kicking you off the podcast. But anyway, the Script Hook, he's the guy who puts it all together. I forget his name, Alexander something. Mayhem shooting cars. And Mayhem is so cool. You can suck things together like you have gravity, like everything just flying at you nonstop. You can push them away like you have like a force field. And then there's like shooting cars where all your bullets are replaced by actual cars. So you're just shooting cars that explode?
If I could have less interest in something, it's this kind of shit right here. Like, why, like...
It's because, okay.
What's the enjoyment out of
it? This is why. Because GTA, the only reason it's popular is because it's very close to actual life. Mm-hmm. And it's the closest you're going to get to actually a whole city. Like, a lot of them, you can encompass maybe a house... But this is the close right now we could do as virtual environment. And then if you can have superpowers inside of, there's nothing for you, huh?
I watched the guy that was a monkey and he's shooting cars out of his gun and flying. And it just had no, like, but I felt the same way about Skyrim. And you brought up Skyrim mods every fucking week and kept showing me Skyrim mods. And you're obviously way into it, and a lot of our listener base, I'm sure, is way into it. But I just don't see the appeal. Like,
Bob, do you see any of the appeal?
You're asking the wrong guy.
No. Why don't you mod, Bob? You obviously have the technical know-how.
It depends on the game. I mean, I've modded games. I made when I was
We've
young.
Talked about this, yes, last episode. 27 years ago, you modded. Why don't you mod currently?
I don't think I get that hooked into one specific game anymore. I'm always moving on to something else. And to get to that modding is like another level of a game that you reach after you've already spent lots and lots of hours in the game, like vanilla, just normal. And then you need something a little bit more. You know, it's a harder drug, I guess, of a game.
That's a good way to put it.
So, I don't know. I just never make it that far.
Yeah.
That's smart.
That's like Gary's mod. Like, a lot of people are in or were into Gary's. I don't know if they're still into it.
Oh, yeah.
I just never got into it because, like, I want a clean, polished, developer-made, thousands of hours devoted. I want that as my gaming experience. Not something that somebody else has created that I... And there's plenty of great mods. And
have you seen
I've modded
the
before.
Hulk mod and the Iron Man mod for
yes, I have.
GTA 4?
And it's really cool. But after I play the whole game,
right.
And I'm bored and I still want to play that game.
But you're never bored because there's so much new shit coming out all the time.
It's like
I get it. I get that, I guess. But Jesus Christ, you could be a flying monkey that's shooting cars for his gun.
Every mod seems to make it easier. And I don't understand why you want to make your game easier.
No. This is not for beating the game. This is for having fun. Like the other day, you came in the room and you're like, hey, I bet you can't do that ramp. And I spent the next 15 minutes trying to do that
failing ramp.
Over and over. Even there was a point where I was like, hey, Chad, this is the one. And no, it wasn't. I failed so hard.
Well, it's a sandbox experience.
It's so,
like a little kid playing in a sandbox.
I know, but we...
Whoa!
Hey, I don't know what you're deriving from that. I think you're drawing more from that statement than I meant.
No, I wasn't, because you were looking like that.
He's got the smirk.
I just insulted the fuck out of that dude.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I just want to bring this up because a lot of people got banned from in Grand Theft Auto this week because they had mods and single player mods. And they came out with a new patch, and a lot of people got a 4-year ban or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Rockstar has come out and said that it was a mistake. They support modding community, and they're glad, you know, that all the mod support they had for GTA 4, and that they were just trying to get rid of some of the online mods that people were cheating with. So I think there's going to be a new patch, maybe even, shall we hope, modding tools to come out that Skyrim had, you know, like a suite for that. So that goes right into our listener questions. Do you guys think that the end user license...
Who asked this, by the way?
This was from... I'm going to keep calling him Jesus, but what do you guys call him?
Latchy?
No, I said I-E-U...
Yeah, it's Latchy backwards. I-E-E-I-H-C-A-L.
I would guess Ecal or Ical.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Long-time listener, long-time fan, lives in Australia, will not evangelize our podcast in Australia, even though I've asked him repeatedly. All right, mates. I'm just going to make fun of him then.
No.
He's actually in New Zealand.
I can actually speak a little bit on this.
Oh, that's why. There's only sheep on that island.
My parents visited New Zealand and had a blast, so don't talk too much
shit. Must love sheep.
Anyways, so from a developer perspective on a EULA, the reason you have a single-player EULA, the primary reason, from my understanding, is one, you don't want to people reverse engineering your game. And a lot of these modders and hackers, what they do is they take a single-player experience and they reverse engineer it to come up with ways to exploit it, hack it, and do other things. So you need a way to be able to at least legally have ramifications if people do that. So a lot of single-player experiences do a lot of that. And the other reason the EULA is around is so if you do anything that is actually
detrimental
to the company, you can do something about it. But it's not... Most EULAs are not around there to like try to hold you back or prevent you from doing it. And most times when people mod single player games, like the company wouldn't even know you do that. The reason Rockstar knew about these single player mods is because it's a connected game. It's online. So they can see you playing, even though you're playing the single player, quote unquote single player.
They can see what you're doing.
They can see what you're doing. But these games that are truly disconnected, they'll have a EULA for single player, but
I think they put out an all-encompassing patch that, you know, okay, we need to get rid of this now because people are getting too much money on the online or whatever. Mm-hmm. We need to put this out now, and that just so happened to knock off a bunch of the single people, player people, and it was an unfortunate side effect, but retroactively, I think all of that shit's going to get fixed, so.
Because, yeah, I saw some news stuff. Some people were upset about this. Like,
some people were very upset about
Rockstar. It's the same internet, like, very reactive kind of outrage and everything like that. Just how we were experiencing with the Steam whole fucking paying for mods thing.
Modgate 2015. Yeah,
exactly.
Also, guys, I started that discussion forum and about listener questions for the following podcast, but also, what do you think about our format? Where can we improve? Do you like the little game in the front? I think that's a good thing to get the juices flowing and all. But if you don't like it, you know, this is where your voice is heard. I read every single thing that comes up on there.
Yeah.
So, just post on there. And that's the
you
quickest
posted this
way.
Up what today?
Yeah, I put it up today. So
okay, and we're curious to know what you think of. Do you think these podcasts are too long? Do you think Emilio's too drunk? Do you think we're not funny enough? Just tell us what you guys think. This is participation. This is a way for you to participate. If you guys think...
More titties? Yeah.
We've already had a call that we should put titties up of ex-girlfriends of ours.
Yeah.
Which I have pictures.
You would win?
Yeah.
You would win?
I do have pictures.
Holy shit.
But I'm not sharing them. Sorry.
Real quick. So his ex-girlfriend put together like this lingerie calendar for him. That was just for him. And we were moving out, and he was throwing it away because it was an ex-girlfriend, and it was a big thing, or maybe he didn't see it. So everybody was helping him move, was throwing all this shit down the garbage disposal or whatever, trash chute. And this thing landed, and we're like, whoa, what is this? It has a heart and that girl's face on it. So we started flipping through it, all these lingerie shots. And
she had glorious... Glorious boobs.
Glorious boobs. Natural, glorious boobs. And we're looking through it. I forgot who the other person was. And no shit, Chad walks into the little trash room at the time. He's like, hey, what's going on here? And
this is also like 20 years old. How old is this story? 15 years old?
10 years probably. When we moved out of F Street? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Anyways.
Oh boy.
Plenty of booby stories.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you think we have very many women listeners, by the way?
No.
No, I know. For sure we have one.
That's good.
I have a stalker.
No, you don't.
Well, she says she's a girl.
Okay. Well.
She puts hearts at the end of every one of her texts.
That's good.
Yeah.
Share that with your girlfriend. Let her know what you think. So, anything else on news, by the way?
Well, we haven't even started news.
Oh.
Or have we?
What's going on for the news? And now, Emilio with the news.
Welcome back to DL Game, where we're barely keeping it together.
What's going on with the news?
Well, the one bit of news I wanted to bring up is GOG.com, Good Old Games, now has a client that is in beta. So they are copying Origin and Steam and trying to do their own platform. But it looks like a lot of the features they're mentioning here sound great. Good Old Games I'm becoming more and more of a fan of because they just have great support for older games. They carry a lot of indie titles too. And I think this is actually owned by the same people who, the developers from The Witcher, CD Projekt.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think so.
Project with a K.
Yeah, with a K.
I always remember that.
But some of the things they're offering here, and I finally got into this. Well, finally, I signed up for it 2 days ago, and then
if
you sign up,
he's number one in the world, by the way.
No, if you sign up for it, you'll get in within a day. And it is very crude, though. Like a lot of these features they don't even have yet, but they do say, it really sounds good what they're offering. If you check out their page at gog.com/galaxy, but it's all modular.
By the way, DL Gaming brought to you by GOG Gaming.
Well, doesn't Good Old Games basically describe Bobby to a T?
Yeah, he loves this Good Old Games.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I play new ones too. Let's not pigeonhole me here.
Yeah, that's true.
But everything is modular. So if you don't want like friends or chat support, then you can turn that off. If you don't want updates or achievements, you can just turn that off with a click of a button.
Very nice.
So that's cool. They do have a game overlay. I don't know if they have like screenshots or anything. They have a community. They have a rollback option. If an update messes up a game, you just roll it back. You can, back up all the, installers for the games. They're all about like giving you the best
ease of access.
not just ease of access, but really what you want. Like, you know, you get the installer. Every game that you get, they guarantee it works on newer operating systems. They give you sometimes a soundtrack, but almost always like high def wallpaper and like PDF manuals. Like everything comes with it. So I finally got this installed today and played around with it a little bit, and it looks pretty good, but they are missing a lot of features as of now. You can't even add people to your friends list by email or username. You have to find someone in the community forums and
now,
add
Chad,
them that way.
I recommended to you X-Wing and TIE Fighter, which they famously now, and I think they're writing the back. That was their kind of like spearhead into doing this because they knew they're going to reach so many people. You don't have to do anything to your rig. You don't have to get an emulator, nothing. You can just play it straight up through GOG, but you didn't buy it, have you?
I bought it through Steam. Steam had that big.
Did it play fine?
I haven't played it yet because I don't have a stick. Well, I need to get a stick this weekend, and I'm going to play some X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Steam.
And kick ass.
Kick ass?
Now they're looking at each other like, who goes first? I promised I wouldn't cut you off. And the other one's like, I know, dude.
Well, we mentioned briefly last week that about Steam and their support for older games. Not always the best. GOG.com, a lot of people have said in reviews about X-Wing and TIE Fighter, and I've experienced this with Dark Forces 2 as well. GOG.com has a better version that's a little more stable. And I think specifically with TIE Fighter, they have the 95 Collector's Edition, which is considered to be like the best version of the game. Because if you get the original version, then you run into compatibility, low-res textures, the sound isn't as good. But well, then,
continue.
Well, they remade the game in 98, but people weren't entirely happy with it. So everyone says, like, if you want to get the best version, go to GOG.com. And I don't know. I'm glad that they're doing their own platform. I'm excited to see this grow.
So, Bobby, would you say that the GOG version is not bad? Not bad?
Not bad?
Well, we have yet to see.
Not the worst thing I've ever seen.
I believe the one that came out. Yeah, I believe the one that came out on Steam though recently was a one that they've put together recently, right? Isn't that the one that came out? They came out with a bunch of stuff recently on Steam.
Honestly, I think what happened was GOG put it out, this new version, and then Steam put it on there.
Okay.
Service, yeah.
No, GOG had it for a lot longer. They had it way before Steam ever got it.
Yeah.
But there's many different versions of this game. There's like the original launch. There's the like the collector's edition that came out a few years later, and then there was one done many years later that was just a revamp of the entire thing.
Which are we talking, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, or what? Which
I can't remember which one. Yeah, it's either TIE Fighter or X-Wing. There's like five of these games.
I specifically remember reading X-Wing, and then separate of that, TIE Fighter. So two different games, right?
The very first game was X-Wing. I think the next one was TIE Fighter, and then the third one was X-Wing versus TIE Fighter.
Yeah, and I would say TIE Fighter was probably the most popular one out of all of them.
Really? Because that was one of my least favorites, because TIE Fighters have no shields, so you don't last very long.
God damn it, they're all against me. God damn it. This whole game is against me.
Fucking.
Oh, a lot of thumbs down, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reviews. Okay, here it is. This is a review from Steam. Doesn't include the collector's edition of the game, which is the one I prefer. The 1998 version of the game has decent graphics, but the audio is terrible and cuts out all the time. It always crashes when using 3D hardware options, so be aware of that. And yeah, there are several other reviews that are kind of along the same lines as this. Like, gotcha. A 98 version ain't that great.
A lot of thumbs down.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, there seems to be just compatibility problems is why they're getting these negative reviews.
So is GOG running the most current version?
No, it's not even the most current version.
It's just, it works.
Yeah. GOG goes through extra steps to make sure that these games run on newer operating systems, whether it be putting it in a DOS box or adding community-made patches or whatever the case may be. They do what they need to do to ensure that it will run on Windows 8 or Windows 7.
Am I kind of an asshole if I say, like, I don't want all these third-party systems running on my rig at the same time?
I don't think most people do. Like, I think that's...
But I don't want to. I don't want to. Okay,
you're talking about Origin and Steam and
Steam and now GOG.
That's why I said O'Grail.
Does that have a name, Bob?
Galaxy.
Okay. I don't want all three running at the same time.
Yeah, me neither.
And I don't want to turn one off to turn another on to start playing. Somebody put a post about this maybe 4 months ago. And I totally agree. Unfortunately, it's probably the best way to play.
Yeah. But well, the nice thing about this, again, is that it's completely optional. You don't, when you buy games on GOG, you don't need to install this. You don't need to use it to install it. You don't need to launch the game in this client. Like, it is completely optional. You can download the installer.
I thought the game was playing through the client.
It can. You can launch it from the client, but you don't have to.
You can also link games that you bought from GOG onto your Steam and just play it straight.
Yeah, you can do that as well.
Steam.
But then they're going to play as well as what Bobby's playing, right?
No.
If it's old games.
Yeah.
Then
see?
If it's old games,
it's
then
not going to play as well.
Like, I bought Dark Forces 2 on GOG last week. I already own the game on Steam, but I bought the GOG version just because it's a better version of the game. Because that one is notorious for having problems with newer operating systems. But they do, one of the features they mention in this is cross play. So if you play a multiplayer game that you got from GOG, you will be able to play against people who are on Steam.
That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that's nice. But everything about this, the thing that I like about it, because that's a valid complaint. There's like Desura, there's Origin, Steam, there's so many different platforms that you need to run certain games, but this it's
a
entirely
VL gaming
optional
platform where every time you click, we get a penny, and we'll be launching that next week. No.
All right, let's wrap up this news.
Okay, we already talked about Rockstar.
Oh, let me talk about this Smite thing real quick. And okay, Emil and I are Smite fans. Bobby is a Smite fan, although he swears he's not. They're doing it. Season 2 is around right now. And they're doing this cool thing. You spend a certain amount of gems and you get entered into this Smite League. And there's prizes if you earn enough points. But basically, they're doing...
Let's break it down. So it's 300 gems, yeah?
300 gems,
So it breaks down to about $3 or $4?
No, yeah.
Well, it depends. Yeah. Okay. Between $3 and $7.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And so... Season 2 is starting up and on their Smite Professional League, the SPL. So they've got all these professional teams entered, and they do certain matches per week. And you basically pick who you think is going to win. And you get points in this if you pick the correct winners. And these points allow you to unlock certain things in the game. There's no money involved, but it lets you earn things in-game for you playing this Smite Fantasy League. I really wish it would go a step further, and I know they have, and I think Compendium went a little further, where you could actually pick players within teams and do stuff like that. Like a real Fantasy League if you're into sports.
I think they're trying real hard to keep the money out of it for certain reasons.
I know, but I would love to pick my hunter, pick my support guy, pick my jungler, and be able to choose.
That would be pretty cool.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah, for sure.
That's how fantasy football does it, right?
Yeah,
fantasy baseball.
Exactly. Right. So I think this is going in a step in the right direction. I think a lot of games are realizing this fantasy aspect and how you can get listener and viewer interaction without actually them playing the game.
Right.
So I think this is a cool concept. I hope they take it a step further next time.
And they're being really smart about it, where they're giving you a third type of currency. There's a third type of currency now, right?
Well, it's not a currency. You earn fantasy points,
which is
but they
type
also
of
have
currency.
Like clan points. They've got
what can you get with these? Like, what good are they?
So chess?
No, not chess. At 1,000, you get a Nemesis skin. At 2,000,
you have to earn a certain amount.
Yeah.
Oh.
At 1,000, you get a Nemesis skin. At 2,000, I forget what else you get. You get a something else. And then at 3,000, which is the cap, you get the Kukulkan skin that I'm trying
to get.
So
awesome.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Wow. And for buying it, you get a Shibalanka skin also, just for buying it. And you get like a, you get a couple other things.
So you got one, you're probably going to get two, and you might get a third.
If you put work in, yeah.
So this Fantasy League feature is becoming more and more common, I'm seeing with MOBAs.
Yeah.
Heroes of the Storm. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, it makes it more like real sports, I guess. Yeah. But Heroes of the Storm had Heroes of the Dorm, where you could choose who you thought was going to win each match.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. Like, bringing the viewers in with the people that play, make it an event. It's just a cool idea and a cool concept. Shall we talk about, we're going to do the raffle.
Let's wrap it up here.
Yep.
So
I have no idea who the winner is.
All right. So we've got a random number generator here. We've got all the names in the hat. And let's see.
Random number is...
How do you pronounce that?
Yeah.
Talapiana?
Talapiana. A.K.A.
Well, Dr. it looks like tilapia, but then there's a na at the end. Tilapia na. No?
She needed that.
Okay.
Nobody's going to get those 3 seconds back of their lives.
My bad.
Telepinia. Okay. Dr. Mops on Steam. And I have to say, maybe not the most... as far as reviews go, probably not the most informative, but definitely the most creative. I think it reads something like, I don't have it in front of me, but it's like, if this podcast was a fork, I would definitely fork again. And if there's more fork references there, but I forget. If there was a spork, I would definitely go with the fork option of the two, something like that. And, I don't even know if they like the podcast. But based on that and the 5 stars, I'm going to say thank you, and I'll send you your $20 pretty soon.
All right.
This week, you'll get it.
This week. Maybe tomorrow.
So let's talk about what we're playing next week, because I want to bring this up, because obviously I'm
not playing. I want to play Pillars of Eternity.
Oh, yeah. When I'm playing, go for it. Download it. Let's do it. So I bought Pillars of Eternity. So I have a little extra cash flow right now. And my goal number one is to get through some of these games that you guys have recommended. One of the very first ones on a recommended list is Kerbal Space Program. And that was back, you know, months ago. But Kerbal recently went 1.0, no longer early access. You're welcome, Bobby. And so I'm going to pick that up as well and play Kerbal. Another one that was posted most recently was Titan Souls. That I think it was the most recent one.
Is that a Dark Souls?
No, it's precursor? A top down pixelated. You play as an archer against these like giant bosses, and it looks more like not a puzzle game, but you got to figure out how the boss mechanic works and try to beat it that way. Is what it looks like. I haven't played it. I'm also gonna play that one. This might not all be next week, but in the coming weeks. So Pillars of Eternity, Kerbal, and Titan Souls are all coming up.
God damn.
Still playing...
That's enough for all three of us.
Yeah, still playing...
Better be playing on easy mode, man, if you're going to get through all those games.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, I'm not saying that's a good thing.
Oh, look. I'll be finishing GTA 5 and probably...
Pillars of Eternity.
Yeah, a little bit of that. Yeah, so we can talk about it.
Yeah.
And Bobby...
I am going to finish up Guns, Gore, and Cannoli and finish up Wolfenstein The Old Blood. And I'll probably be playing a lot more Killing Floor 2 as well.
You guys
we say all these things, and then real life comes in.
Yeah. No, you have all next week off. You said that.
No. Well, kind of. Not really. All right. Well, thank you for listening.
No, I wanted Bobby to do his spiel. That's my favorite part of the podcast.
Really well.
Yeah, DLGaming.net. Okay, go, your turn.
Mother, I can't tell you.